I speak to you in the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The bows of our kayaks were in the water, bobbing with anticipation for the journey they were about to take us on. We stood over them and donned our life jackets as one final step before paddling up the Denise Arm, yes, the Denise Arm near Prince Rupert. I was pretty stoked about that. Just before we set off, the kayak rental guy told us we might want to find the buoy marked with their logo because they have a line in the water with a crab trap on it. He encouraged us to pull up the line and see if they had caught some crabs and even take one for dinner if we wanted to. Out of curiosity rather than a desire for crab meat, I determined to find it and to pull up the line. I located the buoy bouncing in the waters and pulled my kayak up close. It wasn't easy to draw the trap out of the dark waters, for with each length of line, it grew heavier and heavier. I pulled and pulled, having no idea that the line was so long. After 100 feet of wet line carefully laid across my boat, the trap surfaced with 6 huge crabs tossing about inside. We took a brief look at the nummy crabs and put them back in the water to resume our journey. We didn't take a crab. We were not on a fishing trip. We were not hungry. We were floating on top of the water, our spirits raised up and our bodies content and comfortable. We had no need to express the words of the poet of Psalm 30, who praised God for drawing him up out of dark waters and bringing him to the light of day, for rescuing him, saving him, feeding him, clothing him, being there for him. The poet is utterly glad God pulled him up out of the waters where he was struggling with a nervous breakdown or with death or illness of some kind. Out there on the waters where we drew up a trap full of crabs, we were not feeling at all like Peter and the disciples in John's story, at least when they didn't find fish. Those guys were experiencing a reprise of the night they spent pulling up empty nets when they first met Jesus. Their hearts were down there in the darkness along with the fish, and neither them nor the fish were able to draw themselves up to the surface. Joy came to the disciples the morning of the resurrection of Jesus, but it has now again disappeared beneath the surface of the water. Joy has not come in the morning for them, with no fish in the hull, before they see Jesus on the shore. Joy isn't coming in the morning for those who rise up, get dressed, and go out to gather wood for charcoal in Zambia, and find very little to bring home to cook breakfast. Joy isn't coming in the morning for those who rise up, get dressed and go out to harvest clams in Coles Bay and find very little to cook for lunch. They find very little then to cook for lunch. Joy isn't coming in the morning for those who have trouble getting up in Sydney because there is no meaningful work to be found that will also pay the rent, not to mention lead them to acquiring the vocation they have dreamed of. Joy isn't coming in the morning for those who have no food for breakfast and wish someone was on the shore of their lives frying up a miraculous meal that would give them energy to live another day. We know that eating breakfast is essential to growth and well-being for children. Their development is stunted without it. Globally, as of 2021, 22% of children under the age of 5 suffer acute malnutrition or severe wasting. There are many more people like this throughout the earth whose heart's cry to the God of the universe is, raise me up out of these dark waters and let me live. Where is the miracle maker of creation for them? Our sacred stories, too numerous to account for according to John's last words in his gospel, are written to answer this question. Where is the miracle maker of creation? Peter and the disciples, his spiritual companions, his new community of love and hope, now face the day without Jesus. Though he has appeared to them twice now, they have retreated again. They have gone fishing. In the night, nothing has stirred and come to the surface, not fish and not their sunken hearts. They, like the fish, are in the dark of night, though it is day. Though Jesus has risen and appeared to them, they are bereft of his companionship and his miraculous way of bringing life out of death, healing for the sick, food for the hungry on the mountainsides, and salvation for the neglected, the mistreated, and the forgotten. Where is the miracle maker of creation now, this morning, as they face this new day? He is there on the shore, doing exactly what they most needed him to do once again, caring for them by pulling together the means to do so from the created world. There on the sand, Jesus beckons to them to come have breakfast. He has done what they could not imagine possible, pulled up fish from their hiding places, gathered wood for a fire to fry the fish, and to bake the bread from the grains of wheat harvested from the fields. There beside the fire, holding a glass of water, Jesus calls them to breakfast, to encounter the miracle maker of creation feeding them and calling them to do likewise for others. Jesus demonstrates nurture, care, provision, and deliverance to them with the diversity of created things needed to do so. I think Jesus deliberately sets up the scene the disciples see from the sea. It is in direct correlation to the beginning of creation. Darkness covered the face of the deep at the beginning, as it now seems to linger in the waters of the deep sea of Galilee. Both showed no promise of life until God turned night into day, separating the darkness from the light. God at the beginning took the water and drew it back to create shorelines and fields and forests. From the forests came trees to make charcoal fires, and from the sea came fish to fry on the fire. God at the beginning raised up humans from the earth to care for the integrity and sacredness of this interconnected universe of divine provision for all. There on the shore, Jesus reveals just how much we are inextricably linked to one another in a fellowship of created beings, humans, saltwater and freshwater, salmon and perch, wheat plants and maple trees, sand and soil. He beckons us to come and sit with him and take this all in. He says, come, have breakfast. These are three simple words whose dynamic opens a portal into an ecological image of the living God, active with cordial hospitality toward all creatures, willing their good, wanting all life to be fed. Jesus, the Word of God, busied himself with the mundane routine of making breakfast, building a fire, frying fish, and slicing bread. He dramatically portrays the mission of the new day. He died and rose again to call us together to live into for the salvation of us all, for the deliverance from our foes who wish nothing more than to keep raising all things up from the deep and to the new life, the new dawn, the new day. Elizabeth Johnson wrote a book with the title, Come, Have Breakfast, offering the words I have just spoken and giving me a much broader understanding of this passage in John. She also shares a story that is remarkable. There is a little gray brick church on the shore of the Sea of Galilee where the story of the breakfast with Jesus is commemorated. It is called the Church of the Primacy of St. Peter. It's not called the Church Jesus Had Breakfast With. Plaques pay tribute to visits to the site by Pope Paul VI and Pope John Paul II. What is particularly odd about this is how it underplays the breakfast that Jesus serves up like a nurturing mother. The institution of the church becomes the focus rather than the true sacramental nature of Jesus' breakfast. God in Christ invites all creatures to this breakfast, to be fed at the dawning of the new day. "Come have breakfast" resounds with prophetic challenge, cracking complacency of the privileged with insistence to stop global warming, make peace, change unjust practices, feed the hungry, make it possible for every last person to start the day with nourishing food. Pope Francis sounded out this prophetic challenge because he was a pope unlike all the others in his care for creation. One of his great legacies was a letter he wrote 15 years ago entitled Laudato Si, meaning "Praise be to you, O Lord." Pope Francis wrote, "In the words of this beautiful canticle, St. Francis of Assisi reminds us that our common home is like a sister with whom we share our life, and a beautiful mother who opens her arms to embrace us." St. Francis had said, "Praise be to you, my Lord, through our sister, Mother Earth, who sustains and governs us, and who produces various fruit with colored flowers and herbs." The Pope goes on to say, "This sister now cries out to us because of the harm we have inflicted on her by our irresponsible use and abuse of the goods which God has endowed her with. We have come to see ourselves as her lords and masters, entitled to plunder her at will. The violence present in our hearts, wounded by sin, is also reflected in the symptoms of sickness evident in the soil, in the water, in the air, and in all forms of life. This is why the earth herself, burdened and laid waste, is among the most abandoned and maltreated of our poor. She groans in travail." This need not be so if we truly understand what Jesus revealed at the breakfast he prepared for his disciples as a sign and testament of his heart for all creation, for all the poor affected by the climate crisis. The significance of this final scene in John's Gospel is not that a church was founded, but that Peter came to understand the scope of the mission he was called to participate in with God. In firmly confessing his love of Jesus, the risen Lord, he confesses his understanding of the prophetic cost to following the miracle maker of creation in renewing it in this new day. Peter will act upon this confession and love others in tender yet powerful ways, with this sacramental breakfast as his guiding image. So too must we follow Christ with this guiding image. We are a people who have committed ourselves to strive to safeguard the integrity of God's creation and respect, sustain, and renew the life of the earth. We are a people who are cared and nurtured by our God, and for this we praise her, saying, "You drew me up out of dark waters. You raised me up to new life, showed me light when all was dark, fed me when I was hungry, and have given me hope for a new and better day." We are also a people given the task of caring and nurturing all the poor created things of this earth and inviting others to come have breakfast with the miracle maker of creation, Jesus, our risen Lord. May we have courage to follow and to see this new day bring about the new creation. Amen.